you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere. And that is a nation that truly has no clue. They don't know what they're doing.
Have any targets up here? We just had something go right over the top of us that, I hate to say this, looked like a long cylindrical object that almost looked like a cruise missile type of thing moving really fast that went right over the top of us.
And welcome to the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat, I am your host. My name is Tom Velasquez. You just listened to the actual radio transmission from American Airlines Flight 2292 from Cincinnati to Phoenix over New Mexico on Sunday, February 20th, at roughly 1 o'clock Central Standard Time. They reported a strange object flying over them. Listen to this call again that they called the tower and asked, hey, do you have any targets up here? Because we just had something fly right over us. It looked like a cruise missile, and it just was flying right over us. So let's listen to it again, because I know this intro is kind of different from what I usually do, but I wanted to start it off because this is a big deal. So again, let's listen to this. This is the actual transmission from the pilot of American Airlines Flight 2292 from Cincinnati to Phoenix on Sunday, February 20th. At roughly 1 o'clock Central Standard Time over New Mexico, this is the actual radio transmission that this pilot sent to the tower asking, basically, you guys seen anything up here? Listen to it once more.
Have any targets up here? We just had something go right over the top of us that, I hate to say this, looked like a long cylindrical object that almost looked like a cruise missile type of thing moving really fast that went right over the top of us.
So I mentioned to you that this is a pretty big deal. And the reason I think it's a big deal is, A, because it's garnering. I mean, it's all over the national news, the world news. I mean, this is, and you know how I feel about the mainstream media, but the mainstream media has picked up on this story, and they are running with it. The other reason is American Airlines, they have not denied that this encounter actually happened. According to American Airlines, they have confirmed that the radio transmission is authentic, but they would not give any further comment to it. Now, an American Airlines spokesperson talked to Fox News this week and told them, following a debrief with our flight crew and additional information received, we can confirm that this radio transmission was from American Airlines Flight 2292 on February 21st. I think I mentioned it was the 20th. Disregard that. It was the 21st. They went on to say, for any additional questions on this, we encourage you to reach out to the FBI. So people have been reaching out to the FBI, just like American Airlines asked them to do. The FBI is not returning any calls. They're not commenting on this at all. Now, a little bit of info on Flight 2292 at the time of the sighting. It was flying at 37,000 feet. Now, it needs to be said that the Albuquerque Tower, which is where this transmission was directed to, did not respond, and they say it's due to local traffic. Now, where they are in New Mexico, now, when you think of New Mexico, one of the first things I think of is that is a huge military area. New Mexico is the home to White Sands Missile Range, which is located in the southern part of the state, and it has been described as the Department of Defense's largest fully instrumented open-air range. So with that being said, there are a lot of skeptics and ufologists that are looking at this encounter and looking at the location as to where it happened and said, oh, well, this airliner, they just witnessed a cruise missile test. And they say it originated from White Sands and whatever. First off, there's a huge hole in that theory. And that is, there is no way on God's green earth that White Sands is going to fire a cruise missile in the flight path, the known flight path of civilian airliners, where there are civilian passengers, where there, you know, American Airlines, United, Delta, Southwest, they're not going to fire a cruise missile in that flight path. Granted, these people are taking the pilot's words where they say it resembled somewhat like a cruise missile and saying that's exactly what he saw. But again, they're not going to fire this in the flight path. In other words, 37,000 feet. They are not going to fire a cruise missile to fly directly over incoming air traffic. That is a logistical and PR nightmare. There is no way they're going to do that. God forbid they fire that missile and it is just flying along and then bam, blows up a civilian airliner. Can you imagine in this day and age the repercussions the American military would have to, they're going to endure if they accidentally shot down a civilian airliner. People are going to call for the military to be disbanded. That is the cancel culture we have today. And you may laugh and you may like, come on, Tom. How many of you thought that there would be cities out there defunding and removing the police department from their cities? You never thought it would happen. But it has. Ask Minneapolis, who, oh, by the way, just had an emergency city council meeting where they injected $6 million into the budget because, oh, we defunded our police department and our city is a freaking crime zone now. Go figure. You never thought it would happen. You never thought there'd be cities out there stupid enough to defund and dismantle police departments and let social workers take over the cases. But it's happened. This is 2020, 2021. This is the America we live in now. This is the America that we live in now where cancel culture, they have the most influence. They have the most power. If something offends more than one person, then that is going to get destroyed. It's going to get removed. It's going to get canceled. We're going to go over what has been canceled recently coming up on the show because more and more are being canceled, and people are just like, well, okay, if they're offended. This is not the way it's supposed to be. The offended, the minority of the offended, should not control the outcome of this country, and the cancel culture is doing it. So, God forbid, White Sands launches a cruise missile, and it destroys and blows up a civilian airliner and kills everybody on board. Guaranteed people are calling for the military to be disbanded. Guaranteed. And you can laugh and you can say it'll never happen. But again, we never ever thought we would see the day where cities would just defund and dismantle their police departments. It happened. So don't say that people won't say, oh, we don't need the military. They're too barbaric. They're too warmongering. It's going to happen. The day will come in this country, unless we do a complete 180, that it's going to happen. But back to the UFO story, the encounter by American Airlines. This is a big deal because we have a pilot who witnessed something that he has not seen before, and he thought enough of it to radio the tower and say, hey, you picking up anything here? We just saw something we cannot explain. When you think about this, and this is how I want you to look at it. These pilots, they've had, we'll say hundreds, some of them even thousands of flights and flight hours. These people that are flying through our skies every single day, they have seen everything. They have seen everything that could possibly be seen. So when you have a pilot, and let's call out the facts, to be a pilot for a major airline, you have to be mentally stable. You have to be grounded. In other words, you have to have a logical thought pattern, and you have to be basically not crazy, and you have to have good eyesight, and you're not prone to over-exaggerate. I know quite a few pilots, and they are the most level-headed people I've ever met, but they're also the most skeptical people I have ever met. There are some that have said they have seen things they just can't explain in the sky as they're flying, but they don't come out and call them UFOs. This is an incident where the pilot obviously thought enough to call the contact the tower to ask them, are you picking this up? Because we just saw something we can't explain. Now, back in 2018, I want to play for you another audio clip. This is from a passenger airliner. This airliner was flying over Arizona in 2018. Listen to this clip. They kind of sound familiar. It doesn't go into as much detail as the clip previously was saying, but this is from an airliner, and they have contact with the tower. Listen to this.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
Negative.
Okay. A UFO. Yeah.
So the first thing is, I didn't play it, but the newscaster, the anchor, was kind of mocking this. And you know what? I think I should play it for you because I want you to hear how he kind of makes light of the situation. And this is the problem with ufology in general, is that it doesn't get any respect. Anybody who's, and this is, listen, this started back in the late 40s. Anyone who saw, quote unquote, a UFO was considered crazy and they laughed at you. And you would think in 2021, things would change. Let's go back to 2018 when this broadcast was broadcast. You would think things would be different. Listen to the smugness of the broadcaster, of the anchor that is relating the story to you. Listen to the smugness and the like, whatever. This is such a joke. Why am I even reporting on this story? This is a joke. That's how I felt that this reporter, this anchor, treated this story. Listen to this.
Out of this world sighting last month, they say they may have seen a UFO while flying over Arizona. But now the FAA is releasing audio of the incident. Listen to this.
To me, that's just smug, and that's just, I don't even believe a word that I'm going to tell you. To me, it's almost mocking the UFO community. And I may be reading into this and listening too closely and looking for inflections in his voice that make it sound like he's mocking the UFO community when he's really not. I don't know. To me, I've been a ufologist. I was a ufologist for 15 years and very well educated, well known in the state of Michigan. And this was an everyday occurrence. Anytime you talk to UFOs, you got mocked on. You got looked down upon because you're researching and you're investigating UFOs. Why? What a waste of time. I had that mentioned to me and said to me numerous times. So, yes, this is a field that is a growing field, and we are being prepped for disclosure. There is no doubt in my mind that they are slowly releasing these things. And the reason I think this is such a big story is because it's all over the news. It doesn't matter. Fox News, CNN, Breitbart, Newsmax, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, ABC. It's all over. And you can go worldwide. You can go into BBC, you can go into The Sun, anywhere. And I can't believe I even used The Sun as a source, but every country in the world is reporting on this. It is a soft disclosure. And what I mean by that is they're not just going to come out and tell us, UFOs exist, alien exists, let's get used to it. They are conditioning us where they're releasing more and more footage and more audio clips and more unredacted top secret files that state that, yes, we've been looking into this. We are a little concerned about this because we think they're a threat, even though they haven't threatened us. On the contrary, they may have stopped us from killing one another because there are numerous reports of UFOs going over nuclear facilities and just shutting them down. We are being conditioned. We are being prepped for alien contact. When it's going to happen, I don't know. And honestly, I don't even know what's going to happen when it comes out that, yeah, aliens exist, UFOs are real. Now, whether they come from another planet, which I think is where the government's going on this, or they are from a different dimension, a different time, how are people going to react? That's the big question. In this day and age, what do you think? What do you think people are going to do when it's revealed? Because it's going to be revealed. You are not going to convince me any way, shape, or form that this is not a legitimate phenomenon. UFOs have been seen and documented and recorded since biblical times and before. Ever since the written word, the written form of communication, doesn't matter if they're words or pictures or whatever, ever since that has been in existence, there have been documented accounts with what the ancients called star gods, what we now call aliens and UFOs. The UFO alien phenomenon, it is real. And we are going to find out sooner than later how real it is. Contact me at 989-607-4722. Again, 989-607-4722. Leave me a voicemail. Tell me what you think. What do you think will happen with the world, the civilizations across the world? What do you think they will do when they find out that UFOs and aliens exist? Is it just like, okay, kind of figured it. Doesn't really change the way I go about my life. Cool. Or is it going to be like War of the Worlds, 1938, where people are jumping off of buildings, committing suicide because it just destroyed their world, their religious upbringing, their thought patterns. It just completely blew their mind and they couldn't handle it, so they committed suicide. Are we going to see that? Or is it going to be, whatever. I have my thoughts. I want to hear your thoughts. And with that being said, I really need all of my listeners, contact me at 989-607-4722. That is the Paranormal Patriot Hotline. I set up that hotline because I want to have the user interaction, because my listeners want to have the user or listener interaction. This is our show. This isn't my show. I host it. I come up with the topics every week. Yes, I get that. But without you, my listeners, I'm talking to nobody. So I need you to listen to this show. I need you to share this show. I need you to talk about this show. And I need you to call 989-607-4722. Leave me a message. Let me know what you think. What's going to happen when, and it's just a matter of time, when the word gets out that UFOs and aliens are real? What's going to happen? The civilizations around the world, here in America, England, France, Russia, Australia, New Zealand, what do you think is going to happen around the world when it's just let loose and saying, hip, yeah, they're real? Chaos or just business as normal? People still just scrolling on their phones like, oh, that's cool. I kind of figured that. Let me know if you have an event. Let me know if you have a podcast you would love to promote on this show. Listen, this show, I just got word last week that this show, there are hundreds of thousands, if not a million, different podcasts out there. I was just informed last week by somebody that wanted me to be on their internet radio station that this show is in the top 20 of every podcast available worldwide. I want to give you a detail on that, because this is huge, not only to me, but to you. There are upwards of a million podcasts that are being podcast weekly, monthly, daily, all across the country, all across the world, every single day, every single week, every single month. This show that started so small and has been around for, gosh, how long? Almost 8, 9 years now? Almost 10? Is in the top 20% of all podcasts. That's not because of me. That's because of you guys who listen every week. I thought, man, I don't know if I'm doing well or not. Apparently, the numbers I'm pulling every week, because you guys share the show, listen to the show, talk about the show, it has put this show in the top 20% of all podcasts on this planet. That was huge. That sent a chill down my spine. Now, unfortunately, I had to decline the internet radio promotion that, or an internet radio opportunity that I had, because they wanted me to do it 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. I don't have enough time. Do not have enough time right now. Maybe down the road, if I retire, you know, I've got a family, I've got a wife that needs my support, where I can't spend an hour to 2 hours a night producing and releasing a new show. I just can't do it. I would love to. That was my goal. The fact that I even got offered that opportunity, phenomenal. And it's all because of you. But I need your help. I need you to share the show. I need you to just make this show even better. So, you know, the next opportunity, I can say, you know what? I can quit my job. I can do this. But mostly, I want you to call 989-607-4722. Get on the show. There are so many of my great listeners I have not heard from yet, and it's frustrating me because these people are just absolutely the most intelligent people I know. They have phenomenal views. They have phenomenal thoughts. Their thoughts are coherent with what I believe, what you believe. We need to hear from them. I know there are many people that have their own podcasts that listen to this show. I'm all about spreading the love. Get those podcasts out here. Give me a call and say, hey, Tom, I want to get my podcast on your show. Can I work up an ad? I'll get back with you. You have to call the number. I'll be honest with you. I'm really disappointed and really, I was surprised at the lack of interaction on this number. Some people don't like their voices heard, and if that's the case, that's fine. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net, but contact me. Get involved in this show. I've found over the years that when I have listeners on the show, when I have listener encounters on the show, or just listener interaction on the show is a much more entertaining. Yeah, it's a much more entertaining podcast when my listeners get involved. And I don't want to sound like I'm scolding you or reprimanding you, because I'm not. But I put that line together. It's a separate line. I put it together so you can interact with this show. So let's do it. Let's hear your encounters. Let's hear your thoughts. Let's have our listeners. Listen, I know there's a lot of you listening here that have your own ghost paranormal group, your own ufology group, your own, if you're writing a book, if you have an event. I know there's a lot of paranormal places and paranormal people that listen to this show, and political people that listen to this show that have events coming up. Top 20 in the world. I'm not blowing my own horn. I'm not tooting it saying, look at how great I am. I'm just telling you, this can get your voice out. This can get your encounter, your event, your book, whatever you want to do. It can get it out to thousands more people than you would ever have contact with. And it's for free. That's the best part. There's no cost in it. 989-607-4722. Hey, let's stick with the airplane thing real quick here. For all my listeners in Colorado, how you doing? Because apparently, it was a pretty rough ride over the past week and a half, because a United Airlines plane blew an engine over Colorado, and those engine parts rained upon a Denver suburb. It is amazing to me that nobody was hurt or killed. The other amazing part of this was, how much do these parts weigh? Because I'm looking at the pictures of engine parts. And I mean, they're not itty bitty little chunks. These are full blown panels. They're full blown engine parts that blew off of the plane when the engine exploded. the way they landed, it looks like they just must have floated down, because one's just nestled in a tree. One, there's other pieces just laying on the yard. There's no impact crater of anything. There's no sign that this thing had impacted the ground at any speed at all. So it must have just floated down. Woohoo. It's like they had a parachute. Now, I'm not saying that, oh my gosh, look at this conspiracy theory, but, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, these parts have got to have some type of weight to them. And for one, there was a huge, and it looks like it went around the front of the engine, this huge round piece. And it was literally laying up against a tree. Now, the first question I have is, how did it do that? Because the width and expanse of the tree is a much larger than the trunk. But somehow this piece was falling, went around the branches of the tree, came back to lean up against the trunk. Now, according to the article, this is how the people found it. How did it get there like that? And again, I know what it sounds like. I know it sounds like, Tom, are you saying that this never happened, that this was a conspiracy theory? No, I'm not saying it, but I'm just saying this is weird. And this is crazy that thankfully nobody got hurt or killed. But how many times, I mean, where I live, we see airliners, jets, flying over all day, every day. We are from Flint, Bishop Airport, Detroit Metro. We have planes flying over us all the time, and you never think about it. You never think, what if parts of that plane fall off? I mean, am I in danger? I'm right in the flight line of these airliners. Apparently, I don't have anything to worry about because they come down so lightly, it's like a feather. Any one of my Colorado listeners, contact me, 989-607-4722. Contact me and let me know, did you witness this? Is this a little odd? Because it doesn't make sense to me at all. So again, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net, or even better, contact me at 989-607-4722. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk all things political, maybe some paranormal. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. I am your host. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will be right back.
If I could turn back time to right when you first were mine, I would apologize for all the things I'm gonna do.
The stuff of nightmares.
Hey everybody, this is Rick Ness, host of the Stuff of Nightmares podcast. Ever since I was a child, I was fascinated by stories of the paranormal and the unknown. Reading about encounters with Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, UFOs, or even living in a house where spirits roam intrigued me. As an adult, reading true crime stories and watching true crime documentaries made me realize that monsters don't just live in your closet or under your bed. Monsters might just live next door. Come with me on a journey to the unknown and the unthinkable, where the things that people do to each other are just as frightening as the things we can't explain. Every episode, I will delve into the world of the paranormal and lesser-known heinous true crimes. Each story of the unknown will be true first-hand accounts told by the person that had the experience or submitted to me to be read for them. You can listen to the Stuff of Nightmares podcast on the website at www.thestuffofnightmarespodcast.show, your favorite podcast app, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
One more time, say.
To buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honey bees and snow white turtle doves. I like
to teach the world to sing.
Sing with me.
Perfect harmony.
Perfect harmony.
And light and wide the world among. And keep it company.
And the real thing.
I like to teach the world to sing.
To perfect harmony.
Perfect
harmony.
And light to buy the world a coke.
And
keep it company.
Boy, has Coke come a long way from that 1971 iconic commercial to Coke telling its employees, hey, don't be so white. Now, personally, I'm more of a Pepsi guy. I really enjoy Pepsi over Coke. So this doesn't bother me at all to speak out against Coke. But it's not just Coke. This is the culture that we live in America today. Now, I want to quote for you Coca-Cola. This was exposed via their LinkedIn-based training for their staff. I want to tell you, if you haven't heard this, what they're telling their employees, because the training program at Coca-Cola is telling their employees to be less white is to be less oppressive, to be less arrogant, to be less certain, to be less defensive, be less ignorant, be more humble, listen, believe, break with apathy, break with white solidarity. Where in God's name did this country go wrong? It is a crime in this country right now to be white. Make no mistake about it. If you are white in this country, you are looked down upon. But that's not racist. It's racist to be white, because if you're white, you had all of the opportunities in the world. Nobody else had these opportunities, just the white people. The Asians, the Indians that have come to this country and excelled becoming doctors, scientists, professors. The blacks in this country, the Mexicans in this country. Listen, there's a reason why millions of people want to come to this country every year. And that is because it gives us, or gives them, the greatest opportunity to prosper. Listen, I know quite a few minorities, and they are living better than they would ever do in any other country. I'm just going to call it like it is. Yes, there is oppression. Yes, there is racism. I'm not telling you that that doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in the manner that the mainstream media and the Democrats are trying to show us, because they want a race war. They want us separated. A nation divided against itself cannot stand. That's what they want. And they're using that. And they use it to perfection. However, this is just another example. Coca-Cola is another example of the cancel culture, where being white is now a crime. Being white is looked upon as being racist. It doesn't matter if you're a racist or not. I'm not a racist. Hell, I'm not even white. I'm Greek. So therefore, I'm more olive-skinned. So I could fall into the minority category. But you know what? I consider myself white. And I worked my ass off to get where I am. And that's the biggest issue. How many stories, and it is a major story in any news outlet, when some young black child from the projects makes it out of the project, gets into college, and then does well in her life. As if that's some type of miracle. That, oh my God, I can't believe she made it out of the projects. Look at that. This is a success story. All it does is prove that if you have the desire, you have the knowledge, and you have the fortitude to get out of your current situation, you can, and you can only do that in America. But yet, in America, the white person is being looked down upon. That's a form of racism right there. That is okay, though. You can You can demonize the white race. You can demonize white culture because they've had privilege. I'm not going to say it doesn't exist. I haven't had that opportunity. Again, I had to work my ass off for everything I got. Granted, I look like an Arab. In this country before, you know, you're looking at 9/11, Arabs were looked down upon as animals. I look Arab because I have the Middle Eastern look. You know, my grandfather grew up in Greece, and, you know, I've been doing a lot of genealogy research. I'm not convinced my ancestors are not from Turkey. My skin tone, my physical characteristics make me look like an Arab. I've got a bald head now because I'm not going to fight the fight. I'm going bald. I'm just shaving it. I'm not going to comb over. But I grow a beard. And, you know, before my mom passed away, my brothers and sisters and I got on a Zoom call, and I let it grow out a little bit just to talk about, you know, okay, mom's not going to be here long. What are we going to do with dad? And I let my beard grow a little bit longer than I normally do. I normally keep it nice and trim, nice and tight. But with everything going on, I just let it go. And it was, you know, it was pretty long. Not overly abundant like Grizzly Adams, but it was scraggly, I guess would be the word. Every single one of my brothers and sisters are like, holy cow, Tom. If you didn't look like a terrorist before, you definitely look like one now. And I'm like, oh, great. That just tells me I got to shave and trim my beard. So I have that look. So I can fall into, hey, what about me? I'm a minority. No, I choose not to do that because I want to make it on my own. Because one thing my parents, my mother and my father instilled in me was have pride in yourself. Don't rely on other people to make it for you. Make it yourself. It took me a long time to get to that point, and I'm finally at that point where I work hard. I'm very good at what I do, and I'm now being rewarded for it. It's not because I'm white, because I'm not. I could be considered a minority, but I don't consider myself a minority. I consider myself an American. You don't hear me saying, I'm a Greek American. There's no such thing. I understand in the African-American community, that's the thing to say. I'm African-American. And I understand completely how much your roots mean to you because mine mean the same thing. On my bucket list, I want to go back to the village that my grandfather grew up in. I know I have relatives over in Greece. I want to meet them. I understand how much roots and heritage mean to you. I do, but you're not going to see me calling myself a Greek American. You're either an African or you're an American. There's no two ways about it. I'm sorry. This is the news media and the politicians' way to separate us. I don't look at your skin color. I don't look at where you're from. I look at your character. Are you a good person? That's all that matters to me. If you go around stealing from people and, you know, making everybody's life around you miserable, I'm not going to hang around with you. Black, white, Mexican, Asian, Indian, I don't care. But if you are a good person, you have a good heart, and you are there to better yourself, and you just don't want any trouble from anybody, yeah, you and I can hang out. But this whole Coke thing, this is beyond ridiculous. Any white person that works at Coke should be filing a lawsuit. But how are you going to win it? Because the cancel culture that exists today in this country would throw it out right now. Because it is cool to cancel things. If you're offended by it, it's canceled. Doesn't matter what it is, it's canceled. Because somebody somewhere at one point in one time is offended by it. And we can't have anybody offended by anything. The fact that Coke is telling people to not be so white? How offensive is that? That offends me to no end. So, am I going to cause a stink? No, I'm just not going to buy anything produced by Coca-Cola, and I implore all of my listeners to do the same. This is a cultural war that we are in. It is designed, it is perpetuated by the media and the Democratic Party because they know that we have to be divided. They have to have half the country divided upon itself. When that happens, and it's happening right now, then they prosper. When they have a country, just look at 9/11. For those of us who were around right after 9/11, let's talk 9/12/2001. This whole country was unified. Anything was possible in this country. I remember, well, back in 2001, I was a sales manager for Staples. And I was located in their Owosso, Michigan store. And I remember I didn't have anybody working the copy center. I think somebody called in that day, so that means I got to work the copy center, and that was a nightmare. But anyway, I remember somebody coming in from Germany who was here on a visa. And he'd been here, and this was shortly after 9/11. I don't even think it was two months after 9/11, so it might have been early November, late October. But I remember him coming in, wanting copies made, and we talked about what happened. And he said, this is amazing here. Every house, every street, every neighborhood I go down. Because that's what he would do. He would just drive through neighborhoods. Why he was in Owosso, I have no idea, but he was. And he would drive through the neighborhoods, and he says, you know what? I am amazed by the amount of American flags flying on people's homes. We don't have that in Germany. This is amazing to see. The love for your country is amazing. And that stuck with me, and it will stick with me to the day that I die, because on 9/12, our country came together. We were all one. And I guarantee you that scared the living daylights out of a lot of politicians when we are unified. Because when we are unified, we control this country. We get our rights back. But the Democrats, and let's just call the facts as they are. The Democrats, the Republicans, and the media, they have separated us into race. They've separated us into religion. They separated us in political party, and they separated us into wealth categories. So everybody hates somebody else for one particular reason or not. That was by design, because the fact that when we, after 9/11, everybody was united. Didn't matter if you were black, white, Asian, Hispanic, Mexican, whatever. We were Americans at that time. And that is when we were the strongest. And is it any shock to you that shortly after, the National Defense Authorization Act was enabled? That basically said, well, in order to prevent future attacks and to keep our country safe, we need to be able to spy on everybody in this country. The politicians used this, and we were all over it. We're like, yes, we need our protection. We didn't know what we were getting into, because that short National Defense Authorization Act, which was literally just supposed to be for 4 years maybe, has continued. It's continued, and it's grown to where our thoughts aren't private. Our conversations aren't private. The government, why we give the government so much control is beyond me. It amazes me how many people look at the government as their all-encompassing savior. The government is here for me. You know how often I hear that? The government only wants what's best for me. Really, there are a lot of people that believe that the government only wants their best interests in mind. How out of touch are these people? The government Democrats, Republican, it doesn't matter. All they want is to maintain power. And they will do it by any means necessary. If it means giving you free money to vote for Democrats, they'll do it. Damn it. Be damned how we're going to pay for it in the future. I can tell you, it's going to be you and I. We're going to pay for it. But it doesn't matter. It's free money. And there are people out there that, listen, I have a company I work with that cannot hire a damn soul here in Michigan. Because to be unemployed in Michigan, you make more money sitting on your ass doing nothing than you would going to work. They are taking pride in yourself, the ability to move up, the ability to better yourself, and throwing that to the wayside. That is our government. Here in Michigan, Governor Whitmer, and it just pains me to call her that, but Governor Whitmer would rather you sit on your ass, collect $40,000 a year, than go back to work. These people that are doing that have no ability to make more money. But why would you? You're making $40,000 sitting around just waiting on the government to give you their check. Me? I couldn't do it. I want the opportunity, and I received the opportunity to make more money. I want to do what's best for my family. For those of you who are sitting on your ass, collecting unemployment, and have a family, I'm going to call a spade as a spade. Shame on you. How you can go through and say, hey, I'm going to collect the minimum I can get. I'm not going to try and better myself. I'm not going to try and provide for my family better. I'm just going to skate by. There are a lot of people I know that are like that, and it infuriates me. I'm pretty confident that the listeners of this show do not fall into that category. We want to work. We want to provide for our family. Because listen, I was brought up, and I'm sure it's not just me, that I lived a pretty good life as a child. My parents, yes, we struggled in the 70s. I think everybody did. Come the 80s, and ironically when Ronald Reagan took over, we did very well. Now, my goal as a parent is to provide a better life for my children than I had. If I can do that, which I believe I have, my kids are not going without on anything. They have, and trust me, I hear it all the time, you know, oh, we don't have anything, we're kind of bored. Listen, they have a better life than I ever could have had. And that's not a knock on my parents. But that is the goal of a parent, is give your kids the better life that you had. My kids are not wanting. My kids, they are growing up in a completely different, just time frame and completely different situation. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have tablets. We didn't have where, hey, what are you doing? Call them on the cell phone and just talk and FaceTime. If you wanted to see somebody, you drove your damn bike over there and you dropped it in their front yard and ran up to the front door to talk to them. If you wanted to know where your friends were, you drove around the neighborhood on your bike to find out where all the rest of the bikes were. You didn't FaceTime them. You didn't text them. You didn't phone them on your cell phone. When it was time to come in, you didn't get a call from your mom saying, hey, you got to come home. My mom would sit on the porch, and I could be 5 blocks away playing baseball, and I could hear her screaming my name, yelling my name throughout the whole neighborhood. It's time to come in. And you know what? At that time, you came in. You didn't question it. Kids today question everything, and that's not a bad thing to a point. I want my kids to question, except me. Don't question me. I'm like the king of this house, right? What I say goes. At least that's what I'd like to say, but my wife overrules me every time. But all joking aside, it is a different world than when I grew up. But that doesn't mean you stop being a parent. You teach your kids right and wrong. You teach your kids how the world works. Because there are so many parents out there that have no clue. And it's, you know, not really a fault of their own. Today's world requires both parents to work in order to succeed. So parents don't have enough time. When I was growing up, my dad was the sole breadwinner. My mom would raise us from night up or sun up to sundown. She was there for everything. I played baseball. I was playing on 3 to 4 teams a summer. You know what? She was at every single game. When I played basketball in high school, she was at every single game. Even after high school, when I was playing hockey, every single game. That's what parents do. You're there for their kids. Nowadays, it's so hard because most parents work 2 jobs. The mother and the father are all working jobs. So they can't raise their kids. So they're just like, well, you know, here you go. Have fun. Here's some money. Buy a pizza. And that is parenting today. I refuse to do that. I continually tell my kids what is going on in the world. Now, they may, like my daughter, she's kind of on the fence. My daughter, I told you about her. She was a complete liberal. And then she kind of moved. She's a centrist now. My 17-year-old, complete and utter conservative, has no qualms about being a conservative, and I'm proud of that. Because he's one of those kids that's not afraid to voice his opinion. He'll call out a teacher. He had a teacher right before the election say, hey, you know, this is how I want you to vote. And I'm like, first off, that's not a teacher. If you're telling your kids in your class how they should vote and how in manipulating the assignment and manipulating the wording of the books, that's not a teacher. You're indoctrinating those kids. And my son was smart enough to call them out and say, hey, whoa, hold on. Well, yeah, I got a call on that, and I stood up for him. And that's what we do as parents. We stand up for our kids when they're just doing the right thing, when they're supporting their opinion, when they're giving these teachers that should not be offering their political discussions and their political views in class. There's no reason for that. I live in a neighborhood with a ton of teachers. I'm the minority in my neighborhood. There's probably 50 to 60 houses in my neighborhood. I'm going to say at least half of them are filled with teachers. Some of the houses have multiple teachers in them. And, you know, I respect teachers. I really do. But these teachers that are out there to manipulate these kids, to just indoctrinate them, I have no respect for. When I went to school, it was a completely different time. Things are different. My mom used to always say, I worry about my kids or my grandkids. What kind of world are they growing up in? In a way, I'm kind of glad my mom passed before she saw what kind of world we're growing up in. Because my kids, her grandkids, her great-grandkids, they're not gonna enjoy the freedoms and the great times that we had when we were growing up. They're going to know about repression. They're going to know about government control. There is no reason the government needs to control us. We are stronger than the government. Because the government, all these politicians, well, they're so smart. No, they're not. The politicians in this country are not smart. And you could say that from anybody. You could say that in America, Canada, Australia, England, France, Spain. They're not the smartest people. They were just able to get into an elected position, and now they feel they can tell us what we can and cannot do. I just don't understand why people are okay with that. I'm not going to have any politician tell me what I can and can't do, because this is my life. This is not their life. This is my life. I'm going to live it. I'm not going to break laws. I'm not going to do anything illegal. That should be all they care about. But they're changing the laws and they're changing the rules to just force me and force you to comply with their guidelines. And here in Michigan, I mean, it is amazing how many people just blindly follow the government. We got to wear a mask. We got to shut down. It's unconstitutional. The government should not be able to control how I move, where I move, how I conduct business. But they're doing it. And people, half the people in the state are like, it needs to be done. Oh, thank God for the governor. Do they not? And this is my biggest issue. So many people are blind and just don't want to accept the fact that they want to be controlled. They don't want to do, they don't want to make a decision in their life because, oh my gosh, that's just too much. It's called being an adult. You have to make tough decisions. And one of those tough decisions is letting us have our freedom. Look, if you don't want to go to the restaurant, don't go to the restaurant. But don't force us that want the freedom, want to be able to move about and provide security for these home-based local businesses. Don't shelter us because you are so afraid. Let us live our lives. You live yours. Let me live mine. If I choose to go to a restaurant, if I choose to go to a store and I end up getting coronavirus, that's on me. If you're that afraid to be outside, don't go. But don't force us that want to be outside, know we need to be outside. Don't force us into falling into your trap. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and I got one more quick little thing I want to talk about. You know, I'll just talk to you about it next segment. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will be right back.
I try to ask you why, but you never say a thing. Won't you hold me tight? I feel I'm gonna bleed. And even though your eyes will not talk about me, I feel like I have changed since you decide to leave. But won't you hold me tight?
This is Harvey Gott, and I'm the host of Satire Is Not Dead. Join me every Wednesday for new episodes. Satire Is Not Dead is in the Cinescape Media Network. You can learn more about this program and other programs by visiting cinescape.media.
Show, I want to talk to you. Remember when Donald Trump was elected? All the Democrats were saying, oh my gosh, he should not have the nuclear codes because he's going to bring us into another world war. Let's fast forward 4 years. Donald Trump was the only president in my lifetime, and I'm going on 50, that did not enter this country into a war. He actually was moving troops out of foreign countries back home. Joe Biden, in not even a month, decided to bomb Syria. Because he decided to bomb Syria because he was targeting Iranian-backed militias in retaliation for a recent rocket attack in Erbil in northern Iraq. So honestly, who's the warmongers? Let's look at the history. Donald Trump didn't get us into any wars. George Bush got us into Afghanistan and Iraq and Kuwait, and I'm not a big fan of George Bush, but it's the Democrats, ladies and gentlemen, that are the warmongers here. And the media will manipulate and twist it to make it seem like the Republicans are just out for blood. They want to kill people. They want to kill civilians and children. That's so far from the truth. But yet, because all we do is listen to the mainstream media, and we just say, oh, it's got to be true. We don't listen. We don't look into anything. We don't research and create our own knowledge. We'll just go with that. It's so much easier to just read a headline and say, yep, that's how it is. And that's how they manipulate you. Why did we have to bomb this area? Why? Is Joe Biden taking control? Now, the bigger question, and this is starting to make the rounds, and it's gone beyond a conspiracy theory. There are people out there, well, first off, let me tell you this. 36 Democrats right now, 36 Democrats do not want to give Joe Biden the codes for the nuclear button. Remember when Donald Trump, remember when the Democrats said, oh, he can't be trusted with the nuclear codes because he's just going to hit the button regardless. He's just going to go up and say, hey, I'm going to hit this button. Never happened. There are 36 Democrats of our so-called, in the same party of our so-called president, that say, this guy should not have the nuclear codes. Then why in the hell did you this guy get put on the pedestal to be president? This is exactly what I'm saying. He's the only guy that could have beat Trump. Only person. And they knew they had to cheat to do it, so they did. They got caught, but yet the Supreme Court, the mainstream media are kind of blowing it off. So now everybody thinks, oh, well, it must have been a legitimate election. Nope. It wasn't a legitimate election. Never will be. But everybody's talking about how Donald Trump was going to put us into World War III. He did the exact direct opposite. He kept us out of war. He brought peace to North Korea. He brought peace to the Middle East. And he was removing troops from Afghanistan in war areas. And what did Joe Biden do within his first month? He started bombing Syria, of all places. We have no business being in Syria. But yet, because the Democrats are these warmongering fools, and the media and the Democrats are going to tell us, oh, we love people, we don't want war, but yet everything they do revolves around war, we're just going to believe in it. We're just going to believe everything the media and the Democrats tell us because that's what we were brought up to believe and that's what we're being indoctrinated. Our kids are being indoctrinated in schools. But let's go back to the ever-growing conspiracy theory that Joe Biden isn't our president. He is just a puppet. There is a very, very big growing conspiracy theory that Joe Biden isn't our president. Kamala Harris isn't the vice president. The person pulling the strings is the one and only Barack Hussein Obama. Listen to this clip he had with Stephen Colbert that basically tells the world what is happening in this country today. Listen to this.
What you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what, if I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats, looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony. Wow. I'd be fine with that.
Do you know how many people nowadays think that that is actually what's happening? That Joe Biden, listen, you heard the audio on this show where he's walking past Marines and obviously somebody in his ear is saying, salute the Marines, and Joe Biden's out there, salute the Marines. You obviously are, you've heard the audio on this show where Joe Biden is just blatantly signing the executive orders and he says, I don't know what I'm signing, and Kamala Harris is just like, sign it, and he does it. Somebody is behind the scenes. Joe Biden is not our president. This is the greatest coup in the history of this country. Mark my words. Somebody is behind the scenes. Barack Obama just told you. This is what he would like. Do you not think this hasn't been thought through? And do you not think somebody in the Democratic Party said, that's a good idea? We'll just have a third term of Obama under the Joe Biden Kamala Harris administration. This isn't just me. There is a growing number of people that believe that Barack Obama is behind this administration. Contact me. Let me know what you think. Contact me at 989-607-4722 or ghostseeker4 at charter.net. Let me know what you think about anything I talked about on this show. Please contact me. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. We'll be back next week.
Do you feel